Right, title for the sermon tonight is What to Do About the End Times. What to Do About the End Times. Now, we finished the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter, and, you know, I don't know if I'm going to offend you with the first few words that I have to say here. I don't know. I don't mean to. I really don't want to offend anybody, but, you know, I've been a believer. I've been saved since I was 4 years old. I've been church. I've been pretty much in Baptist churches ever since, even before I got saved. And, you know, even after I got saved, my Baptist pastor came up to me just to confirm that my mother gave me the gospel correct and that I understood it right. And he confirmed, yeah, this man is saved. And I remember my old Baptist church. The first Baptist church I went to was a Baptist Union church, but it's not like Baptist Union today. All right, it felt like a normal church, like a normal traditional church. And I remember, because we used to clean the church building, so the pastor even had this huge Bible. It was just massive. It was an old King James Bible, you know. And he preached from the King James Bible himself. So, you know, it was a different way that the Baptist Union churches were when I was a young boy. But I remember also in that church, we had this library at the back of the building. And this library had books and videos and, you know, the old VHS tapes and things like that. And there was a lot of end times material. And, that's the topic that everyone seems to enjoy. So I remember taking some of those videos home and I would watch them. Some of that was, you know, I think it was The Thief in the Night, one of those videos, popular video from the 70s. And just other preachers talking about the end times. And, you know, I remember one video I watched was about the barcodes. And, you know, when the barcode was introduced and they were basically saying, this is the mark of the beast and things like that. But now, obviously, now that I've read the Bible cover to cover several times, I've grown and matured in the Lord, I just realize how much foolishness there is about the end times. Like, just so much production, so many books. You know, the U.S. recently had a blood moon, you know, was it a blood moon? Or was it the sun eclipse of the sun? It was a sun eclipse, whatever it was, right? But whenever there's something happening in the moon and in the sun, someone's going to write a book. Someone's going to make a big deal. It's just around the corner. It's all about to happen. And, you know, I just find it so foolish. And I remember growing up as a Christian, despising the end times, not the end times in God's word. I love God's word. But just despising all the other material and the conversations that people would have in the end times. And, you know, growing up in church and then going into the IFB churches later on in my later years, one thing that I found, and again, this part, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not trying to. You know, I want to be a help. But, you know, the strangest Christians I came across in my life were obsessed about the end times. Like, that's like the hobby horse. It's all about to happen. You know, the signs are here. Every technological advance, thank you. You know, that's it. That's it. Big Brother's going to watch us. And, you know, now we're going to be marked and everything we do is going to be monitored. And, you know, we're up to a cashless society. And anytime some countries get together for some meeting, whether it's a G7, G11 or the UN, United Nations or NATO or whatever, the nations getting together for some reason, that's it. That's going to be the 10 kingdoms that are going to give their power to the Antichrist. And I just think, boy, it's so foolishness. And, you know, usually the people that I find, again, if this is you, I'm not trying, I don't know, it's up to you, decide for you. You decide if I'm talking about you, brethren, I don't know. But, you know, like, and you know what? Going through COVID the last few years and all of that, I just realized how tense some Christians are about every little thing. And, you know, could this be the mark of the beast and the vaccination? And if you take the vaccine, are you worshiping the Antichrist? And, you know, don't you know that it's, I don't know, patented 666 or something like this, right? And it could be that. It could be around the corner. I've always found these Christians really unsettled, really, like, obsessed. And some of these people are my close friends that I love very dearly. Not even in my church, but I speak to them on a regular basis because they like the fact that I'm post-trib. They like the fact that I believe that, but they don't like the fact that I don't respond or react like they do about the end times or about every little advancement. You know, when I went to my first IFB church, my pastor at the time, which I learned a lot of great truths from, I can't remember what I said to him. I mentioned something about the end times, like, you know, pastor, do you think this, you know, like what people do, right? Do you think this event, I can't remember what it was, you know, could be leading into the end times? And my pastor was like, well, possibly, but I wouldn't worry about it. And I was like, oh, why? He said to me, well, you know, for example, I'm pretty confident that the Antichrist is going to drive around in a car. You know, does that mean every time there's like, now people have invented the car, right? Now, you know, that's a sign about the end times. What he was trying to say to me is, you know, Kevin, just relax. Take it easy. You know, don't worry about every little change or every time someone's going to take cash away from you, we're going to come to a potential cashless society or, you know, the next Bitcoin development or whatever it is, and it's all about to happen. But, you know, believers, they get obsessed like this. I'll tell you what happens, because I know some of them. I'll tell you what happens. I know couples that don't have kids because they're afraid the kids are going to grow up in, you know, the Great Tribulation and they don't want the kids to go through it. I think it's selfishness, to be honest with you. Just, that's an excuse not to have kids. I think that's been pretty selfish about it. But anyway, there are those that believe that. That's, you know, there are men that refuse to go to work. Oh, why? Because the economy is about to all collapse, and to go to work, you're going to have to give in to the mark of the beast system, and I'd just rather avoid that and try to, you know, we'll just find our own little compound in the middle of nowhere and live where nobody can trace us. Yeah, you can't win any souls, you can't do anything for Jesus, but I guess you're hidden in some compound somewhere far away. People overreact. Get, you know, and I've even had people say to me, you know, during the COVID times, and I'm not going to say any names, but, you know, because I closed the church down, like every other pretty much pastor did, right? And then I got a phone call once, Pastor, are you getting paid by the government to, you know, to close down the church? Like, are you legitimate? Like, are you like one of these, you know, false prophets being controlled by the government? It's like, man, you're ridiculous, brother. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, and I'm just saying, there's a common thread to all of this. People get obsessed about the end times. And you know what? Yeah, that's important. That's an important part of the scriptures, but there's so much more in the scriptures that you need to work toward. And so what to do about the end times? You know, I don't want to leave you with the book of Revelation, and then now every little thing that happens, Pastor said this was, you know, in chapter 11, he said this, in chapter 14, he said that, and I can see, wow, look what happened. You know, the Commonwealth Bank has closed down some branches, and it's all coming to head. It's all coming to digital currency, Pastor, and I want to run away from all of that, and oh, man. You know, 5G, and then 6G, and then 7G, and 8G. It's all going to brainwash us, and it's going to mind control us. And, you know, our children are going to grow up and be, you know, half human and half android or something, right? And, you know, Pastor, it's all happening. It's like, nah, relax, bro. You know, relax. What to do about the end times? Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1. Sorry for that long introduction. But now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. You know, when I think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that gives me a lot of joy. I don't know about you, a lot of peace. I'm looking forward to it. I know Great Tribulation is coming first and then Christ is coming in the clouds, but I can't wait to see my Jesus Christ in heaven. I just can't wait to see him and say, Lord, I did my best for you. I tried my best. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my shortcomings, but I did my best and thank you for giving me everlasting life, you know. But then look at verse number 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. You know, I find all troubled, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. You know, I just want to take a different thought that we often think about in this passage, but people that are obsessed about the end times are often troubled. They're often shaken in mind, okay? And there's often a common denominator with end times obsession, and then conspiracy theories obsession. Because anything that's happening in the world of conspiracies, and I believe there are conspiracies, don't get me wrong, okay? I know they're there, but I don't care, okay? Because there's always conspiracies, there's always been conspiracies, all right? But anyway, obsession about that, and then trouble, like every little thing, every little issue is like a concern, a worry, and why? Because it says here, as the day of Christ is at hand. And so, of course, I'm looking forward to Christ. But I don't want to be troubled. I don't want to be burdened by thinking about the coming of Christ, because we know that when Christ comes, there's going to be great tribulation. We know there's going to be a great persecution of the saints. And so people get troubled about what's going to happen. It's all about, you know, when they think about the coming of Christ. Look, I just want to rejoice about it. I want to be excited about Christ. You know, if I don't, my mind doesn't go to being shaken or troubled. And, you know, what happens if... you know, I don't know, whatever. You know, this new development that's happened, this new war that's happened over here, could this lead to the next, you know, global government, the next new world order, which might be New Babylon, Babylon the Great that we read about, you know, in the book of Revelation? I don't know, brethren. I don't know. I don't know when all this stuff is going to take place. But as a pastor, I didn't, even though I observed it before I was a pastor, I observed it when I was a young kid. The obsession about the end times and the worries and concerns. I remember Y2K, and I remember seeing even believers, you know, are storing food and storing goods. And, you know, one woman encouraged my mom, you know, start stocking up because it's all going to shut down and, you know, satellites are going to fall out of the space and land on the earth and whatever, right? It's all going to collapse and it's all going to, planes going to fall out of the sky. And boy, I feel like I already lived, and then COVID, and then like even before COVID, the global financial crisis in 2008, and it's all about to collapse, it's all about to fall. I think, you know, and I was like, whoa, come on, guys, just relax. This world is corrupt, I know that. There are concerns and dangers, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with preparing for hard times. I prepare for hard times. I always try to make sure there's a bit of a buffer in my ability to, you know, I don't live paycheck to paycheck. I try to have a little bit of a space. You never know when a car's going to break down. You never know when some issue's going to come up or where I can bless a brother or sister in the Lord maybe if something comes up for them. I think it's good to be somewhat prepared, but I don't want to be prepared to the point where I'm preparing because I'm shaken in mind or troubled, you know, by thinking about the coming of Christ, and it's all about to happen right now. Verse number 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." I want you to notice the falling away first. There's a lot of different opinions as to what that falling away is. But obviously, you know, if the falling away involves believers, we don't want to be people that fall away during hard times. And so, you know, I've got some points for you today. Number one, don't be troubled. What we see from that verse, don't be troubled. Okay, what to do about the end times? Don't be troubled, Pastor. We're going to go to cashless society. Don't be troubled. You don't know if the coming cashless society is the one about the mark of the beast. You don't know if the next Bitcoin or whatever development's going to be the market. We don't know. You know what? There can be a global currency, completely digital, that comes into even in our generation that is not the mark of the beast. That all the nations of the earth adopt. You know, and they accept it, and all cash is done away with. The mark of the beast, until they ask you to worship the dragon and the Antichrist and put something in your head and forehead and in your hand. Okay, you don't have to concern yourself with every little development. Okay, the first thing I just want to say to you guys is don't be troubled. Okay, don't be troubled. I want you to be at peace. So, if I offended you at the beginning about the end times, being obsessed, I want you to be relaxed. You know, as I'm supposed to be a shepherd, a pastor. I'm supposed to care for the state of my flock, my sheep, that God has put in church here at New Life and also at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I hate seeing my brethren, even my friends from other churches and concerned about this and that. I just like, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Be excited about the coming of Jesus Christ. Can you come with me to Revelation 13? Come with me to Revelation 13. We know that the man of sin is coming, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I'm not going to go through everything all over again. You can go back and listen to Revelation. But I want to remind you of what the best thing you can do for your life, if you are the generation, if we are the generation that goes into the end times. Revelation 13, verse number 9. I want you to remember, okay, the believers that do so well in the great tribulation period. Revelation 13, 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You say, Pastor, how can I prepare for the end times? What do I do about it just in case it's in my life? How about you work on patience and your faith? Okay, because that is what's going to keep believers, you know, serving the Lord, faithfully doing great exploits and works in the end times or in any type of difficulty, is when you remain faithful and you are patient. Okay, when you learn patience. And again, we've gone for the fruit of the Spirit not long ago, and we saw long suffering. We covered faith and long suffering. I don't want to rehash. There is going to be some overlap with what I covered with fruit of the Spirit. But coming into the next chapter, Revelation 14, verse number 12. Revelation 14, verse number 12. Revelation 14, verse number 12. It says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God," look at this, "and the faith of Jesus." Again, we see the patience, we see the faith. Now we also have the commandments of God. How do I prepare for the end times? What do I do about it? Hey, keep the commandments of God. Be patient. Calm down. Okay, don't be troubled. Be patient and have your faith placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, these are qualities that you're to have just regardless if you're not the generation going through the end times. This is what we should do about it. Okay, this is what we're driven to think about. It's not, all right, how do I, you know, collect enough guns and grenades so I can fight the Antichrist? You know, how do I, you know, prepare a bunker and getting ready for the time when there's persecution of God's people? Or, you know, how do I prepare to make sure that I've got enough crops and food, you know, on my land? I've done enough of a farm, and I'm growing, you know, food, and I've got enough cattle and things to take care of my family during these hard times. No, just patience, faith, and keep the commandments of God. That's going to be the best thing that you can work toward as you think about the end times. It says in verse number 13, Revelation 14, verse number 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors." Look, they're not hiding from the Antichrist. They're laboring. They may rest from their labors and their works to follow them. They're doing great works. "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." Of course, that's the coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds. But I want you to notice once again, I already covered this in Revelation, but the believers that are going for these end times, they're doing great works for God, okay? And now the time of rest comes, right? When the time of the rapture, the resurrection of the saints, they can finally rest from the labor, from the persecution that they've gone through. But what got them through all that persecution? Their patience, their faith, and keeping the commandments of God. It wasn't making sure they had enough food for the next 7 years of great, or the 75 days of great tribulation or anything like that. That wasn't their concern. Their concern was, hey, I just want to be a great believer. I want to be a great Christian. Look, if you come with me to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look, there's great knowledge in this church. We believe in a post-tribulation, pre-wrath rapture. The Bible is so consistent. The Bible clearly spells out this is the timing of Christ's return, okay? But you know what? I don't think my pre-trib brother down the road, okay, who's saved, I don't think they're going to necessarily fare worse during great tribulation because they don't have the knowledge that I do. Because my pre-trib brother down the road may very well have greater faith. He might have greater patience. He might be doing a better job keeping the commandments of God. And so, hey, if it is in our generation and he's surprised, oh, I thought the rapture was coming first. He's going to, well, hey, I've been faithful to God. I've been keeping his commandments. Bring it on then. If this is what, I believe that's going to be their pro. I don't think they're going to be, oh, I don't know what to do. You know, let's bring up Pastor Kevin and find out exactly the time of the rapture. I think by the time that all of this happens, they're going to know the truth. If they're walking faithfully, keep the commandments, right? If they're being patient for the Lord. This is how we prepare. This is what we do about the end times. I have no idea if it's going to be in our lifetime. To be honest with you, if you ask me, you know, and I want to be careful what I say, but I don't think it's going to be in my lifetime. That's what I think, okay? I don't think it's going to be in my lifetime. I'm not saying it's not. I just don't think so, okay? But then that means, Pastor, we don't need to be faithful. We don't need to be patient. We don't need to get the commandments of God. Of course we do. Because even if we're not going to go through great tribulation, there'll be other tribulation that you go through life. And that's going to help you when you go through difficulties and troubles. Okay, making sure that you're walking closely with the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. And I know I read this not long ago during the Fruit of the Spirit series. But just as a reminder, it says here, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity." Look, this is, what do I do about the end times, Pastor? Work toward these qualities in your life. Ask God to develop these things in your life. Be more virtuous, right? Have a better temperance about yourself. Be patient, be godly, be kind. You know, have charity one for another. Look at verse number 8. "For if these things be in you," okay, that means they may not be in you, okay? We need to work toward this. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Like, what's the point of knowing the rapture's after the tribulation, but before God pours out his wrath? but I'm not going to have these qualities in my life. I refuse to work toward fixing my life. Well, the Bible says you're going to be blind. You can't see far off. You're not going to be effective for God if you are that person that goes through the end times. But look at verse number 10. Wherefore, and rather, brethren, give diligence. You know, this is like work hard toward it. Give diligence, look at this, to make your calling and election sure. Look, and I love this part. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now we saw that before the rapture, there's going to be a great falling away. Okay, and again, we can talk about who that falling away entails. But I don't want to be a believer that, it's all about to fall, it's all about to collapse, and it's all about to happen. And then I'm worried and frustrated, and I'm doing nothing for God except to hide and protect myself from all the evils of the world. You know what? Focus on the things that God wants you to focus on, and you'll never fall. Like, I know those characteristics, probably, pastor, big deal. But you know what? If you have this in your life and you're bound in these things, God promises you that you'll never fall. You'll go through times of difficulties and you'll stay faithful to God. You're going to have betrayal and rejection. You're going to be like, praise God anyway. And look at verse number 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I told you at the start that I'm looking forward to the coming of Christ. I want to be with him in his kingdom. Of course, we all are. Okay, but notice that there's going to be abundance for us. There's going to be rewards. There's going to be, treasures in heaven if we work toward these qualities. When Christ comes back and we can rule with Christ for that 1,000-year period of time. But we saw in verse number 10, I'll just read again, verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. The next point that I have for you, first one was don't be troubled, right? Next one is make your calling and election sure. You know, make it sure, make it strong. How? These qualities. Okay? Knowledge, temperance, faith. Sorry, it says faith and then virtue and knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Boy, you can ask God to make you abound in these qualities. You won't fall and you'll have great rewards when Christ comes back, you know? So make your calling and election sure. Come with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 7. And I want to be careful because I don't want you guys to walk away and then be like, I'm never going to talk to Pastor about the end times. If I have a question about something, I'm never going to come to him because he thinks I'm crazy. I don't want that to be the result either. I don't mind talking about the end times, but I want to do it in the right way, with the right spirit. Like, not concerned, oh man, it's all about to happen. You know? I was going to say something, but I'll leave it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, there's a iniquity, that's wickedness, sin, that's already at work at the time Paul wrote this epistle. Okay? It's a mystery, he says. Okay? It's something kind of like behind the scenes. We don't really see it very clearly. But again, those that are in the conspiracy world, you guys know that there is mysteries, there are conspiracies, there are behind-the-scenes movements, and so we watch the videos to find out, you know. But I just want to show you that, look, it's been happening in Paul's day. That mystery of iniquity has already been at work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed. That's the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Why I wanted to read that to you is that I want you, if you get worried about end times, you get concerned about every little conspiracy, calmly accept that iniquity is at work. You can't change it. Okay? You can't change it. It's been at work even in Paul's day. And you know what? I don't see Paul concerning himself too much with the iniquity that's at work behind the scenes. I see him focused, writing epistles, starting churches, encouraging the brethren, going soul winning. Right? I see him focused on the things that are going to matter for eternity. What I'm trying to say, brethren, is that, look, maybe it is all around about to happen. Maybe it is all around the corner. Okay, I don't know. I don't think so. But there's always been work behind the scenes. Like, it's been 2,000 years. I don't know how much more time the devil needs to do his work and bring in his attempt of an empire. You know, his main man, the Antichrist, to come and try to rule over the whole. I don't know how much more long. It's already taken 2,000 years. Maybe he needs another 2,000 years to make it happen. I don't know. I don't care. All right. We know that it's at work, so why am I going to concern myself? But this is what I see on social media. I see brothers and sisters in the Lord and my online listeners, I'm sorry if I offend you too, but, you know, posting on Facebook and why aren't people awake? I've been warning about this for the last 5 years. There you can finally see that it's all true. Yeah, I mean, we've known it's been true since Paul's day. It's not like you found something new and amazing. Wow! It's been at work for 2,000 years. I mean, you're just showing me something that's happened in the last 2 years. It's not a big deal. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Like, relax. We know that behind the scenes, it's all the devil's trying to make this happen, a reality. But I want you to notice how he responds in verse number 8 there again. Like, okay, it's at work. All right, Paul, all right, tell me, what am I supposed to do with the mystery of iniquity? Am I meant to fight the Antichrist? Am I meant to fight the corrupt system? Is that what I'm meant to do? Paul, he just goes, and then the wicked shall be revealed, and whom the Lord shall consume the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. He gives it one sentence. Oh, this is going to get destroyed anyway. Oh, is that all? What about, you know, waking up society and waking up the sheeple and is that not, no, just don't worry about it. It's going to happen, then God's going to destroy it. Like, that's how much attention the Apostle Paul gives to, you know, the mystery of iniquity. Okay, it's at work, and then God's going to destroy them anyway. Who cares? That's it, like, next verse, that's it, it's all over. And then it says, verse number 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. What's his concern? Salvation, getting the gospel out. All right, he goes, but these people that follow after the Antichrist, that refuse to believe the gospel, yeah, they're going to be damned, they're going to be given, you know, what's it called? The mark of the beast. No, I was going to say, strong delusion is what I was going to say, sorry. God's going to send them a strong delusion and, hey, they're not going to get saved. Okay, we know that, okay? But again, the third point that I had for you was just calmly accept iniquity is at work. It just is. It's just how it is. Relax. Like, God knows. Right? You can't change it. I can't change it. It's been prophesied in Scripture. It's supposed to happen. You know, like, I'll tell you about one pastor friend that I have who was preaching about, you know, all the new, you know, surveillance and you know, it's all coming to the mark of the beast and it's all this and that. And I love this pastor, don't get me wrong. I listened to a few of his sermons because I was kind of, okay, like, I can see where you're coming from. Looks like you're waking up to things and you're starting to realize the wickedness of the world, praise God. But then at the end of the sermon, it's like, okay, like, you revealed all these things about, you know, surveillance and our privacy has been taken away, and then, you know, the Lord's coming back at some point, and it's like, but yeah, but you spent all sermon doing this, but what are we supposed to do about it? So I contacted him. I said, okay, I've been listening to your preaching, it's good, I agree with what you're saying, but I'm confused as to what your call of action is. What are we supposed to do with this? And he couldn't give me an answer. And I said, look, could it be that you're trying to reach out to those in the conspiracy world? Hey, you know, the Bible speaks of these things. Yes, it does. Get saved. Is that your purpose? And like, oh yeah, that's my purpose. But it's like, I don't mind. I love pastors. I love preachers. And especially if you're saved and doing God's work and pastoring's not easy and I appreciate them. But sometimes I see that even pastors get obsessed and about this and that and that development. And this. It's like, yeah, but what do you want me to do about it? Like, I'm confused. Like, I feel like if I was your congregation member, I'd walk away being a little bit scared about the future. Whereas God's not given us a spirit of fear. Like, I'm confused by that. Like, you know, if I'm being preaching through the book of Revelation, I gave you fear, I don't want that to be the case. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to have a better knowledge. Okay, well, that's what's going to happen. I better prepare myself then. I better do something about potentially if I'm coming through that time, I'm that generation going through the end times, what do I do? What did Pastor Kevin say? Hey, increase my faith. That's what I need to do. Keep the commandments of God. That's what I need to do. That's what I want you to walk away with, not thinking, oh man, it's all about to happen. Matthew 24:15, I'll just read it to you. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. You know what? I'm not going to concern myself about every time if there's a new way to scan when we go shopping or something like that. You know, that's not what Jesus says to look out for. You know what? He wants our attention, if we are going to go for the end times, this is the confirmation. When the abomination of desolation takes place, when the Antichrist creates an image, some statue, something, that is demanded to be worshipped by all people, and if you don't worship that, you know, everyone's going to be put to death, and, you know, that, yeah, okay, whoa, that's happened. Big news, breaking news. This image is set up. Okay, now I know I'm in the end times. Like, this is the key. This is what Jesus says, when you shall see the abomination of desolation. He's not saying when you see a single currency, a single one world currency, that's when you know. You know, or when you see, what else? Earthquakes and blood moons and sun eclipses and things like that, right? Now you know it's all about to happen. No, Jesus Christ says, hey, abomination of desolation, already 3.5 years into that final 7-year period. I mean, I just feel like Jesus doesn't even want us to be that overly concerned with it until we're smack bang in the middle of it. But we shouldn't be like, okay, now I'm in the middle of it, what do I do? Well, just what we've always done. Go to church, be faithful, keep the commandments of God, go soul winning, you know, and I've already shown that I believe the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out in a great measure to us anyway. We're going to be able to do great works for God. And I'd rather be in a vessel that's been prepared for the Holy Spirit to do maximum works for Jesus, if we are going to go through that end time period. Can you come with me to Jeremiah 29, please? Jeremiah 29. And I'm going to try to fast forward through this. But something else that we learned from the end time, from the Revelation series, is that there's going to be this world power, Mystery Babylon the Great, right? And we know that she's been made drunk by the blood of the saints, so she's key to persecuting the people of God. And I don't believe God used Babylon, the name Babylon, just for no reason. I think we can learn lessons from the Babylon of the Old Testament. I think that's why it's there, so we can compare Scripture with Scripture. And in Jeremiah 29, and look, I say this all the time, and I don't think this makes me a popular preacher, but Jeremiah was not a popular preacher. And don't forget that Babylon destroyed took into captivity the Jews of the southern kingdom of Judah. They were taken into captivity for 70 years into Babylon, all right? And that's the Babylon of Jeremiah's day. And then God sees fit to describe the coming world power as Babylon as well, okay? So I think, okay, God, you're trying to show us something. You're trying to give us some thoughts and how we approach that. You know, and I believe this mystery or spiritual Babylon, I do believe it's already at work today. Like mystery of iniquity, I think it's all at work already. Okay, it's all behind the scenes, and again, COVID woke me up a little bit to that, when pretty much every nation did exactly the same thing, which I find surprising. It doesn't look like each nation is sovereign. It looks like they're calling, you know, they're being controlled by some other, you know, government system, some other great power, whatever it is. Okay, whatever, I don't care. Mystery's been at work all these years, for the last 2,000 years. It doesn't surprise me. But in Jeremiah 29, verse number 1, I'm going to read some of the verses here. And as a reminder, Jeremiah basically is telling the Jews, look, just get on with it, okay? It's God's judgment, okay? And we know, when it comes to the end times, it's God's judgment as well, okay? And it's God's judgment, just get over it, this is what's going to have to happen. You guys are going to be taken into captivity for 70 years. Some of you guys are going to lose your life, but if you surrender peacefully, you know, you're going to be treated well. And then the false prophets are like, no, we need to fight this. It's not going to happen. Don't listen to Jeremiah. They even said that Jeremiah is a speaker for Babylon. Like his, you know, his allegiance is toward Babylon. Don't listen to what he has to say. Kind of like when someone said to me, oh, are you getting paid by the government to close the church doors? You know, it's just life. It's just human nature. It happens, you know, in cycles. But in Jeremiah 29, verse 1, I want you to look at these words. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives. Okay, so there were three major times that people were taken into Babylon, or the Jews were. And then, so he's writing a letter to those that already were sent there. So it says, elders, which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king and the queen and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Jemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying. Okay, so this is what God wants to say to these people taken into captivity into Babylon. You know, they've been stripped away. They've lost their rights, okay? They've been stripped away from their families. They're taken to a foreign land. They've lost their houses. They've lost everything. All, you know, private and personal items have been taken away that they're now belonging to Babylon, okay? Saying, verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Okay, this is the instruction. Rise up, get ready. Get ready to fight Babylon. Verse 5. Build ye houses and dwell in them. And plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. You know what God's saying to the Jews? Just get on with living a normal life. Go get a house. Go build a garden. Eat, enjoy the fruits of the garden. Look, you're going to be there for 70 years. Just relax. All right? Well, that's the point I have for you guys about, you know, what to do at the end times. Just get on with living a normal life. Be normal people. Okay? You know, if you're always on the internet and every little issue is bothering you and past the next development is this and that, you're not normal. Okay? If you think maybe it's best if we just sell up everything and run to some compound in the middle of nowhere, you're not normal. Okay? You're not a normal person. Normal people, even God's people that are taken into captivity, just God's telling them, get on with life. Okay? Look at verse number 6. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Remember what I told you about some people that freak out about the end times? Oh, I'm not going to have any kids. Okay, these guys have had everything taken away from them. Like they're living in a worse situation than what you are. Okay? They actually have a Babylon that has taken everything away from them. And God says, hey, have kids. Get married, have kids. And take wives for your sons. And give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. The next thing, Pastor, what do I do about the end times? Make family your priority. Have families. Get married, have kids. Enjoy the family. You know the best thing about COVID? The best thing, I think, was we got to spend more time with our families. You know, Pastor, we got to fight. We got to fight the system. You know, it's, hey, my boss is allowing me to work from home, but I'm going to fight it. I'm going to go to the office anyway. Hey, how about you spend time with your family? You got more time. More time with your wife and kids than you've ever had before. You know, why don't you enjoy that? You know, enjoy what God's given you. Make family your priority. What do I do at the end times? It all could happen. Have kids. Let your kids get married. Okay, get on. Be normal. Verse number 7. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof, ye shall have peace. Next thing I have for you, brethren, what do we do about the end times? Pray for peace. You know what city you're in right now? Sunny Coast. Sunny Coast. Lord, I'm going to pray for peace on the Sunshine Coast. Pastor, don't you know there's wickedness, there's drunkenness, there's fornication, there's adultery. murderer. Yeah, but you know what? What I'm going to do, I'm going to pray. Seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. Where they were carried away captive was Babylon. And God, like Babylon, wicked Babylon. And God says, you know what? Just seek peace. Be at peace with the people around you. And why? He goes at the end of verse 7, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. You guys want to be at peace? Like we started, we don't want to be troubled. We don't want to be shaken in mind about the end times. We want to be at peace. Well, Lord, can you please give the Sunny Coast peace so I can be at peace? And brethren, again, you know, there is peace on the Sunny Coast, isn't there? Like, I'm not being thrown in jail right now, are you? We're preaching God's word, and I'm not trying to change my words out of concern for censorship or hate speech or what have you. I'm just preaching God's word as best I know how. I'm at peace right now. I don't know if you're at peace. But what happens? Got to watch the videos. Got to find out what's happening with the mystery of iniquity at work. Why? God's giving you peace right now. Enjoy the peace. Who cares about the mystery of iniquity? Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? Be at peace. Stop worrying about every single development. Every time there's some change in the legal system or technological advance, I got out this time, you know, or a change in the financial systems, and it's all about to happen, Pastor. Just be at peace, you know. Very quickly, you guys know this passage, 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Isn't that? I want that. Do you not want that? Quiet and peaceable life? I want that, brethren. But I know when I spend time thinking on the end times, it's all about to happen, the peace gets removed. And you know that happens. You know that happens. Why do you want to live like that? Why do you want the stress and the sorrows and then got to tell brother so-and-so about it so they get stressed and worried too? What kind of brother in the Lord are you? I want to give you peace and you want to give him stress. Doesn't make sense. What to do about the end times? Pray for peace. Let's continue then, verse number 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely among you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Brethren, you see, sometimes we have our own dreams, our own thoughts, our own ideas. If I just change the way I live my life and I hide from the government in the middle of nowhere and I remove my name off every registration and I... we're married? Well, man, we shouldn't have done that documentation. Let's break our marriage so that the government doesn't know who we are and who our children are. And I'm going to hide all my kids and make sure nobody sees anything. And I'm going to wear the, I don't have any foil here, tinfoil hat on my head. No, brethren. You know, sometimes that's what people think. And you know what? There are always going to be prophets. There are always going to be preachers that are going to confirm for you to live that kind of life. Like, if that's what you want in your heart, it's not going to take long for you to go online and find some preacher that will confirm that's the right way to live a life. Listen, the next point that I have for you is forsake unbiblical teachings. Forsake unbiblical teachings. Let's keep going there, verse number 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and I love this, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Look at this. Thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Look, the last point that I have for you is God would have you to be at peace. Okay? If Babylon rises, mystery Babylon the Great, and we lose our freedoms, we lose our rights, every step we take is monitored, every dollar we spend is known by the government. You know what God says? Hey, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Don't you like that? That God is thinking toward us peace. He wants us to be at peace. to give you an expected end? Hey, look, our expected end is to be with Jesus Christ, to be with God, salvations, new heavens and new earth. Why do we get so concerned about what's happening in this corrupt, wicked world? We know what it is. We're sojourners. We're passing through. You know, we're not trying to fix this earth as it is. We need to be at peace. God wants us to be at peace. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So, brethren, I'll just wrap it up. What to do about the end times? Let me go through those points very quickly. Number one, don't be troubled. Number two, make your calling and election sure. Number three, calmly accept iniquity is at work. It's been work for the last 2,000 years. Number four, get on with living a normal life. Be a normal human being, please. Number five, make family your priority. Number six, pray for peace. Number seven, forsake unbiblical teachings. And number eight, remind yourself that God would have you to be at peace and not to be troubled. Let's pray.